Good morning, everybody. So just to start, I don't have any relationships to disclose. I want to thank and mention my collaborators on the study, Francis Onan, David Knaus, Laura Bogart, and Catherine DeRose, who's here with us this morning as the moderator. We received our funding from NICHD for a larger study and that this comes out of. So today I'm going to try to accomplish a couple of things. The first is to try to summarize the importance of community-based HIV testing and say a little something about the questions that are out there about doing HIV testing at religious congregations. The second is to review the approach that we took to providing HIV testing at churches in Los Angeles as part of a larger project. And then I'm going to present a little bit of data on the HIV testers from those events and try to compare them to a sample of community residents in Los Angeles County. And then I'm going to discuss the implications of the study. Overall, the idea here is to try to understand better who comes out to HIV testing when you do it at religious congregations. HIV testing and early treatment is clearly really important for stemming new infections. When people learn that they're HIV positive, they reduce their transmission behaviors. Early diagnosis leads to subsequent access to healthcare and hopefully reductions in mortality and morbidity. But one of the problems today is that only about 44% of adults have been tested. And of the 1.1 million people who are currently infected, 21% with HIV, 21% don't know that they're infected because they haven't been tested yet. The burden is high among racial and ethnic minorities. For example, Latinos and African Americans consistently have higher rates of new diagnosis than whites, and there are specific concerns about the testing behavior of racial and ethnic minorities as well. Some of the barriers to testing include lack of knowledge about where to go to receive testing, fears about disclosure and about having the disease, so some related to stigma, self-perceptions of low risk, and also access barriers are really important. Persons who don't have health insurance are often among the highest rates of not having received an HIV test. And so there's clearly a need to diversify HIV screening strategies to reach some of these previously untested populations. One effective way out there of doing that is to provide HIV testing in communities. And I think many of you may be familiar with HIV testing strategies or activities in churches across the country, but one of the problems is that there hasn't been a systematic review of data related to those testing events at churches. What's great about community-based testing, I think, is that they have this capacity to identify new infections. They expand access to screening for low-income populations, high-risk and harder-to-reach populations, including minorities. And it also has this potential to normalize HIV testing in the community. And religious organizations, despite not having the data, have, I think, in some cases been proposed or discussed as potential ways of expanding community-based testing into new populations. And one of the reasons why that's the case is because we know from prior studies that religious congregations have reached into many populations. Their leaders and the congregations themselves are trusted organizations within communities. Many have the physical and social resources to conduct HIV testing, which can be expensive or time-consuming for the congregation, but not all. There are many small congregations that have difficulty doing any kinds of health activities. Many congregations and their leaders have played really important roles in social change in their communities, and I think that's especially true among African-American communities. But because of the limited data that I discussed from community-based testing events at religious congregations, there's a number of questions that are still out there that we wanted to try to answer with data that we were able to get in this study. I think the big major question is, can you administer HIV testing at churches in an efficient manner? So, are you really able to accomplish large-based screening for congregations and for communities? And then related to the actual testing events is the question of who comes out to those testing events. Are they high-risk populations? Are they populations in terms of that have high needs in terms of access to services? And then will you actually find previously undetected HIV when you do testing at churches? So the, as I said, this the data for today's the study that I'm presenting today came from a larger project, and the project was called facilitating awareness to increase testing for HIV. We called it the Faith Project, and Faith really focused on changing the way that congregants and their leaders in congregations thought about and talked about HIV. And we did that primarily by developing two major components. One was informational and the other was contact. The informational component really concentrated on helping people understand the way that HIV is transmitted and the basics about preventing HIV. The contact component really focused on exposing congregations to people who have HIV and have had and the experiences that they've had while they've had HIV, including some negative experiences within churches. The object of Faith, as I said, was to use these components, information and contact to try to help reduce the stigma that's related to HIV in part. And to help support that aspect of the project, we incorporated the HIV testing. So testing was designed to reduce stigma, help normalize the idea of doing HIV testing within congregations. Where we did the testing was at five different churches in Los Angeles County. Two were African American Protestant churches, two were Latino Protestant churches, and there was one Catholic Latino congregation. The congregations' race and ethnicity represented the race and ethnicity of the communities from which they were drawn. And it's important to note, I think, that the this was a pilot project, I should mention also that we partnered with the Long Beach Department of Health, who did all of the HIV testing. It was rapid testing conducted largely on their mobile van that they used for community testing prior to this project. But one of the things I wanted to say, it's important to note that this is a pilot project, and that we were trying to learn as much as we could about the process of providing HIV testing at churches. And one of the things that we learned early on was that the Long Beach Department of Health was going to have difficulty reaching a large number of people in a short amount of time. I think when we first started, they were able to provide about six tests per hour. And when we at the beginning, we really wanted to try to increase that to about 20 tests per hour using the mobile van, because we knew that we would be in religious congregations at churches during high-volume times. So I think some of our smallest churches had up to 200 members, and we wanted to be able to reach as many people as we could, and our testing events would be centered around church activities. So we modified the procedures for the Long Beach Department of Health in a couple of ways to try to achieve that. The first is that we increased the number of staff at each event. So Long Beach sent a lot of staff to counselors to handle the increased volume. RAND staff that were on the study also participated in helping to organize the events and allow the Long Beach staff to focus on the testing aspects. The van was used primarily just for the swab and for providing the test results. What we were able to do is at the congregations, we use congregation space, either in the main church or other places, classrooms, et cetera, to provide the primary counseling that the Long Beach staff would provide. So the Long Beach staff would take people who are interested in testing. They would give them a questionnaire or a survey that they typically use, and that survey is the one that we've got data from for today. And so do all the pre-counseling activities. They would then go on the van, be tested. They would be released with a number to come back in 20 minutes to receive the results. Once they received the results, once they were ready with their results, they would go back on the van to receive the results and the counseling that went along with that. We knew that it might be an uphill challenge to get a lot of people coming out to testing, even if the van was parked right in front of the church. And so we did a couple of things at the churches to try to increase the number of people who were participating. The first is that all of the events were promoted extensively within the churches using their typical methods of getting information out. That informational component that I talked about included having persons trained as peer mentors within the church community, and those people talked about the testing events. Events were scheduled around the church calendar, and so that meant that we didn't just pick dates that worked just for us, but we really wanted to focus on when would be good times for the church to help us do the HIV testing. And then we asked the pastors and lay leaders that participated in the project to participate extensively in the testing. And for the most part, I think that occurred and was helpful for getting people actively involved in this effort. So I want to get into the data that we were able to collect. It comes primarily from the client assessment questionnaire that I mentioned was collected by the Long Beach Health Department. What we wanted to do was take the data from all the people who received HIV testing at the churches and compare that to a sample in Los Angeles County. The way that Los Angeles, the County Department of Public Health, divides the county is they've created 8 different service planning areas, or what they call SPAs. All of our churches came from SPA 8 in Los Angeles County, which is one of the most ethnically and racially diverse counties. SPAs within the county. As I said, since the churches were primarily African American and Latino, we subset our data of testers to just that population, and then using a variety of different surveys, we subset the LA County population to African American and Latino persons in SPA 8, and that's where our comparisons come from. We use several different surveys since we ask questions that don't appear in the same survey or even in the same survey each year. Those were the Los Angeles County Health Survey, the California Health Interview Survey, and then the Greater Los Angeles Homeless Count Report. I just want to mention that the Homeless Count Report is the only one that doesn't subset its data into SPA 8, so that information is all at the county level. It's also important to mention, too, that this is just an exploratory analysis designed to highlight new information about what happens at church-based testing events. Because of the way that we collect our data, we don't have any information on people who weren't tested, so we're not able to do any inferential statistics to try to understand what the causative factors of testing were. But we are able to test for differences in the sample between African Americans and Latinos among just the testers. And I'll talk some more about the challenges of the data and what we think we were able to find towards the end. Note about our measures. The survey, some measures that we were able to track in our county sample and within our testing sample included a variety of measures on the demographics, risk, and need. So for demographics, obviously we had race and ethnicity, gender, sexual orientation, age. In terms of risk, we had information on whether the person used injection drugs, the number of sex partners in the previous 10 months, whether they had had sex without a condom in the previous 12 months. And then the Long Beach Health Department also, each counselor assesses from their own point of view the risk of the person that's being tested. We have that data. In terms of need, we have information on insurance status and whether the person's ever tested for HIV, and then whether they've ever been homeless or homeless in the last 5 years. So the results were, in terms of the testing events, we had 11 testing events at the 5 churches, and at the churches, the number of events ranged from 1 to 5. 323 people came out to be tested, and 2 were offered coupons to receive free testing at the Long Beach Health Department if they wanted to get testing but didn't have time at their particular event. We also wanted to offer those coupons in case people were concerned about being tested around people that they knew very well. The 314 people that came out for testing were African American or Latino. 28% were African American, 72% were Latino across the churches. The testers. And so the number of testers at each event ranged from 11 to 61 persons, and we identified one preliminary positive test among those tests. So the data I just presented really just talked about the output of the events in terms of the number of people that were tested, but in the next couple of slides, I just want to present a little bit data on the demographics, risk behaviors, and need of that population and try to compare it to Service Planning 8 in Los Angeles County. This slide is, I know it's a little hard to read all these numbers, but the main point here is that there wasn't a great deal of differences in terms of demographics between the two samples. So in terms of gender, age, sexual orientation, the church-based testing participants looked a lot like their peers in the county. The age distribution of the testers might be skewed a little bit older relative to the county. But we did find some differences in terms of the risk of the participants. First, the church-based testing participants had a lower percentage of persons that had one partner in the previous sex partner in the previous 12 months, a higher percentage of persons that had two or more partners, sex partners in the previous 12 months, and a slightly lower percentage of persons that had sex without a condom. There weren't differences on the other factors, but you can see that the Long Beach Health Department's assessment of the risk of the participants was about a quarter, a little bit more than a quarter for the total sample, but it was 45, almost 46% for African Americans. So that the Long Beach Health Department thought that about 45% of African Americans were high risk for HIV among our testers. In terms of need, first I should say that it's difficult to say a lot about the homeless, so I'm just because of the way that the data is collected in our survey in the county. But you can see some of those differences there. But in terms of insurance and EverTested, we found some interesting differences. The percentage of persons that didn't have insurance in our church-based testing group was higher than the county sample. And the percentage of persons in our group of testers that had private insurance was lower. And the proportion, the percentage that were had ever been tested was 32% among our testers compared to 60% in the county. So, there's some points to be made about whether we were able to track a population that needed the HIV testing through the church-based testing events. And then, as I said, there were a few differences between African Americans and Latinos. Primarily, we found that compared to African Americans, the Latinos were younger, they were more likely to be uninsured, to have public insurance, and less likely to have private insurance. And then Latino testers were also less likely to have been tested for HIV and to have two or more partners and to have had sex without a condom in the past 12 months compared to African American testers. So that bolsters some sense that the level of risk among African Americans was higher. Some conclusions that I think that we can draw from the study, there's a couple that I think are important. The first is that I think that we reached some high need populations. As I said, in terms of insurance, we had a higher percentage of people that didn't have insurance and a lower percentage of people who had private insurance, and the group of people that came out for testing relative to their peers in the spa in that section of Los Angeles County, and then a much lower percentage of people that had ever had HIV testing in the past. We reached some higher risk populations, especially among African Americans, but I thought the data was a little bit mixed in terms of the risk categories that we were able to calculate. We successfully, I think, modified the testing to reach more congregates, and that's really important since this was a pilot, as I said at the outset, and the idea is to scale this up at some point. So knowing that we can reach a larger number of people at church-based testing events is an important finding for this study. There's a couple of points that I wanted to make about the way that the data are limited. But before I get to that, I think it's also important to say that I think that there was some anecdotal evidence that HIV testing helped reduce stigma at the events. And we won't know whether that occurred until we evaluate all of the data from the study, where we collected data on all of the people that were in each of the congregations. And we looked specifically at potential changes in stigma over the time of the intervention. But our observations at these testing events were that people were not just participating, but they were excited. I think I maybe even mentioned it last year if you were at the same presentation, but one of the images that I have from this project that I think will last with me forever is at one of the African American churches where we were doing the HIV testing. It was busy because we did the testing during services. There were two different services. People were coming in and out of services to get testing, and then in between services there was this crunch, and it was an early testing event. We had to make some modifications because of that. But there was a ton of people who came out of services or were going in that were lined up for testing. And the image that I always remember is of these church ladies, and you know what I mean, with the hats and the clothes and the shoes, standing in line for these long steps to go up to the mobile van to receive their HIV testing. And not just quietly doing that, but talking and chatting and really enjoying all of the events that were going on at the church that Sunday. And so, to me, that really tells this story of the attitudes of people about HIV testing at the church. And hopefully later data will tell us whether we're right about any change in the level of stigma around HIV. So as I said, there were some limitations in the data. We just looked at testers, not a sample of people who were tested and not tested. So it's not just difficult but impossible to say that any of the things that I thought were related to HIV testing, like insurance status or risk, actually are, or prior testing behavior. But I think there are some telling statistics there nonetheless. I think there's a couple, and scale. So we weren't able to test everybody who potentially could have gotten tested at these churches. I mean, one church had 2,000 members, and so we obviously didn't reach a large proportion of that church, but we only had a few testing events within this pilot project. And I think being able to, as I said, expand the capacity or the volume of testing at these events makes that a possibility for the future. You know, there's some generalizability issues, too. This is African-American and Latino churches in Los Angeles, and I don't know how much you can say about how this will play out across all congregations in the U.S., but in some ways it doesn't matter. We were focused on these as high-risk populations within L.A., and so to be able to do this within those churches I think is telling and important by itself. As I said, there are some questions about the level of risk, but I think overall what we were able to accomplish is testing of this concept of doing testing at HIV churches, and if there are higher risk populations to be reached, I think the way that could be accomplished is by scaling the project up and hopefully reaching people's family members, their friends, and community members that have higher risk categories than the people that showed up for our testing events. So that's the end of my time, and do I have time for any questions?
One question.
Yes.
I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about how difficult for EJ was to get buy-in from the churches to have them as a pilot.
Yeah, the recruitment of the churches was difficult. It took a long time and a lot of work to first identify all of the churches and the communities that we wanted to work with, and then to recruit them to actually participate in the study. And I can't say that it was all just about the stigma of HIV disease. Churches are busy, their calendars are full, and so having anybody come in for research projects, as you know, is a difficult task. And I think that was the harder hill to climb than the specific issue of working on HIV. But it was difficult, and we had to really branch out to find enough churches to do the study. I think I'm out of questions. We have to get the next participant up.